A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" When the men came to the Lord, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?'" At that time, Jesus cured many of their diseases, sufferings, and evil spirits. He also granted sight to many who were blind, and Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." The Gospel of the Lord. This is my first occasion, after many years of priesthood, of being immediately close to an active and vibrant parish. It's in San Francisco, and if you were traveling through and you were to Google cool churches, well, this is what you'd find listed first of all, St. Dominic's. It's got wonderful programs serving every group of people in the parish, and it posts a marvelous liturgy and good music and, quite frankly, I think good preaching. The house is also our novitiate house, so it's a house where there are some older friars who give people a sense, perhaps, of stability, and the younger guys who are, quite frankly, offering a real strong sense of hope for the future. And we work in partnership with Dominican sisters, lay people, and lots of others who are all asking a question that I think is touched by today's gospel. Where's Jesus? Give me Jesus. Who are you? Who is he? I want to start by telling a little story, and I hope you'll find it amusing. I was asked by the pastor to join him and others of the priests in the community hearing confessions for little children, their first confession, which takes part in what takes place in the midst of an Advent prayer service. And I agreed, of course, and it's an absolutely delightful experience if you have the opportunity to do such a thing and it's within the liturgical tradition of your own experience, then by all means, give it a chance. But these wonderful children come and are presented by their parents and the whole family, in fact, and the child is introduced to the priest, and then all the family greet the priest with the penitent, and then the rest of the family go sit down, and you're left with a little second grader. And trying to get a chat going on with these young children is not the easiest thing in the world, especially someone, I'm 6'4", and quite a bit bigger than any of these little kids, but their eyes are glued to the person who is there representing for them Jesus. And in a sense, what they say with their eyes is what all these people said when they were involved in these discussions today who appeared in the gospel. Are you Jesus, or do you have something to tell me from Jesus? Tell me what the message is, and I'll be glad to listen to it. So these children come up, and one by one they tell me that they've been good or bad and talk about the relationship they have between themselves and their parents and a number of things like that. It's just really a wonderful experience. One kind of interesting story is one of these little children said to me with a bit of discouragement in her voice, "This is hard for me." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And she said, "Well, my dad drove me to school this morning, and I asked him to help me with this first confession. And his response to me was, 'You tell that priest that you're like the Virgin Mary and you have no sins.'" And so the little girl was disgusted and disappointed because she felt maybe she did have some sins. So I told her not to worry about that, and I'd help her myself. So at the end of the confession, she thanked me very much and thanked me for helping her. And I said to her, "Would you do me a favor?" "Yeah," she said, "I would." And I said, "Tell your dad that I'd be glad if he came in to see me to help him with his sins, and I then would give him the opportunity for confession. And she got a big smile on her face and said, I promise I'll do that. So it's not all heavy, it's light. But this is the Advent season, and in that Advent season, this question about who are you the one, tell me about yourself, comes up again and again. And every time a new thing happens and affronts our senses, at least I think about it. I walked into the church, and all the wonderful evergreen smells that are filling the church as they begin to build the decorations for the feast day, and the heavy traffic, all the shopping, all the advertising on in the media, these things are all, in a sense, if you're a serious Christian, would bring to mind that question, what is this all about? Why are we putting so much time and energy, money, resources into this? And sometimes, in fact, it is to find the answer to that question. Who are you, Jesus, and why am I making all this fuss over you? What's going on that makes today such an important situation and makes you such an important part of that? The kind of answer that slips in is, yeah, the world is troubled, and it's diverse, and it's got lots of frustrations and many problems. It has also got wonderful, hopeful signs. And in the midst of all that, what our message has to be continually is you're looking for Jesus because he alone can ease the pain, can heal the blind and the deaf and the people who are lame. He alone is the one that can give some kind of meaning to the chaos that's around us in our society. Chaos that is at home with regard to the, you know, crazy shopping and the disastrous economy, crises around the world, the hunger and the poverty, the anger, the sexism and the racism, all the kinds of things that are floating out there that tend to get in the way of human relationships are around. And we have to figure out what have I got to do with that, and what has Jesus got to do with it, and how do we get in sync with one another so that we are, in fact, asking Jesus to identify himself for us so that we can believe more firmly and more intensely in him and share with people more completely and more consistently the message that he leaves us. I want Jesus. That's what the little children said in confession. That's what at least I think many of us say when we're confronted by the crazy mixture of sounds and sights that are related to celebrating this holiday in the secular sense and celebrating the Feast of Christmas in our religious sense. We look for a model. We look for a mentor. We want to have someone who helps us understand the essentials of life and then do our best to live according to Jesus' teaching relative to those essentials. We want to search, and we'll continue to search, and we want to find answers, and we'll continue to find some answers, but we'll also realize that every time we find an answer, we've also discovered yet another question. Year after year after year, we do this. Year after year, we ask these questions. Year after year, we're confronted by the same signs and symbols. Year after year, we're facing all the kinds of things that go into making this season both holy and hectic. We want to know who Jesus is and what he's got to say to us that would help us recognize that we are the instruments he's sending to cooperate in the healing of the various people that suffer so much, to heal the afflicted and to work in Jesus' name. I don't know whether it would be possible for us to ever solve all the world's problems at one shot. My guess is, of course, just being practical, that's an unthinkable kind of thing to confront. But I also do wonder, why do we keep asking the questions? And the answer to that, I think, is because the problems are still there. Every time we turn around, whether we like it or not, the world is full of those problems, and we find ourselves doing and thinking crazy things. And Jesus says to us, keep coming back to me, keep asking me questions, keep trying to figure out who I am and what I have to say and what I do. And when you do think you have a handle on that, take me as your partner on this walk. Be part of my life, and you let me be part of your life, as we face these issues together. So the answer that that John was hoping for was, you know, who is this person? Why are we doing these kinds of things? And the answer is fairly simple. What we look for from these gospel persons, from Jesus, from John, from all the disciples of the early church, and for our disciples even today, is you've told me that Jesus is going to be recognized not so much by the many things he says, but primarily by what he does. When we see this healing happening, when we see this forgiveness going on, when we see these wonderful reconciliations taking place at every level, we can turn to one another and say, I think I have an insight into who this Jesus is, and I think I have also an insight into what questions to ask, how to ask them, when to ask them, and then how to search for clarity with regard to the answer. Jesus the Lord is coming. We are waiting for him to come and to manifest himself to us in a more splendorous way even than all of the beautiful liturgy and the smells and bells of the holiday allow for. What we're asking Jesus to do is manifest for us an outline of the needs, help us to understand them, outline for us a kind of a map of how to deal with those needs. And then when he reaches his hand out to walk with us, accept the invitation, take the Lord's hand, and walk with him into the midst of all of this strangeness and wonder, and say, Lord, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the beginning of an answer, and thank you for the opportunity of looking for that answer to find it with clarity and to live it with a complete sense of who we are, what we've been called to do, and why we're called to do it. Lord, we want to know who you are. We want to watch what you've done, and we want to walk with you on our journey to doing it ourselves. Blessings and a happy feast and season.